Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good evening and welcome to the post-game Villa Same Old Arsenal podcast. None of us are in the mood. I'm certainly not in the mood after my very early start on Radio 5 Live this morning, which I'm going back on tomorrow morning to discuss this. So I'm not in the best of moods. Normally I can be quite positive and we'll go, yeah, brilliant, move on. Bad day at the office, but I don't feel like that. So welcome to everyone in the chat room. Hello, everybody on audio. Welcome back to my podcast brother, Mr. Chris Suburban. Why have you got your finger up, Chris?
Because for today, we are going to rebrand this podcast. This podcast is called The Same Old Arsenal We Don't Get Shit Podcast. Because, frankly, I'm sick. And James, you'll feel... I didn't watch the Liverpool game earlier, and I know you did because I followed you. But I feel like... it's Arsenal. Like, I genuinely had people messaging me and I'm like, we don't get this. I've almost accepted we don't get stuff. Like,
Christopher,
we're refereed differently. Okay.
Yes, we're going to come to it. We're going to get it out. But I'm just saying hello to you and welcome back because you've been down under, haven't you? On a fabulous.
And now I'm just down.
And now he's just down. That's quite good for you. Right. So, everybody. Chris has set the tone for the show, but let me welcome our podcast other brothers from other mothers, my lovely Albert, Albert JTV. Thank you for joining us.
Man, this is a pleasure. I watch along, I won't be able to ever get back here in my life. Oh my God.
Very frustrating. I know. We're going to try by the end of the show to have some positivity. I'd like to welcome my nemesis to the left of me, Mr. James LL Cool J Johnston. Hello, my darling. Thank you for joining. And I'm sure you didn't want to.
Yeah, could you not have invited me on like for a game that we actually win or something, you know, instead of this? I mean, we got four people here that can talk to you about so much with football and about the game, and we can make witty remarks. And we're all four funny people. We've all got such great feathers in our bow. Yet we got to talk about what we got to talk about again, every bloody week. It goes back, you know, we know what the FA in FAPGMOL stands for, and it's that word I won't say at all. We get it. It's sweet FAPGMOL is what it should be called.
Sweet. Yes, I think we can set the tone, but let's like, I actually wanted to talk a little bit about the Luton game and how amazing it was, but it seems that,
You can't.
I was going to say, it feels like it's not the right time. We did brilliant, wonderful last minute win out. We move on to today. So I'm just going to start with this morning when I was on the radio. On with a nice Villa fan, actually. Great girl. Stands in the whole end. You know, very excited. Loves her manager. thinks that they can win the title. Why not? They're doing really well. And I thought, and I said, I think the game is going to be really open and a spectacular one because Villa will not sit back. I was actually really disappointed. And I felt Villa were quite average. And I'm back on the radio tomorrow morning. If anyone wants to listen at 7:45 tomorrow, I'm on Radio 5 Live. I actually thought they were pretty average and I can't see them winning the league. Now, Chris, you alluded to this off air. It's really hard. I don't know where to start, to be honest. I think I'm just going to get all your views, get all the questions in. I'm going to star all the questions. I'll ask them as we go along because I'm sure we all feel the same.
Yeah. So the challenge with post-match podding is that, and Albert will testify to this because he's literally just on a watch along, but and actually subscribe to it, guys, if you haven't already, subscribe to it because it's really, really interesting. Because you get the raw emotion of like each individual little nugget of moment. And so what we're doing is we're trying to sort of condense 95 minutes of football. Interesting, because Emi Martinez, and I counted, had about 7 or 8 minutes himself of holding onto the ball. Interesting that every other game seems to be 90 plus 10 minutes. But, you know, let's just park that one for now. But it's frustrating. I don't feel I feel ragey, but I don't know why I feel ragey, because if you take away that first 5 minutes in which we seem to absolutely tee the bed, this was a game in which I'd have said, do you know what? We actually were the better team. We created more chances. Villa offered very little. And I'm kind of all right with the result. It's just, it was one of those off nights. But title contenders, no, because you can't at home. You can't play that high line that he did. You can't almost get away with it, which I think Unai Emery and his team got away with it today. You can't do that all season. And we've seen that before because we know the storybook of Unai Emery. So sad tonight, yes. Disappointed that we didn't take advantage of our chances, yes. Yeah. If I'm on Radio 5 as you are tomorrow, and if it's the same Villa fan, if that Villa fan says, oh, we're absolute title contenders, my response, if I'm you, Amanda, is, really?
Yeah, I will be. Don't you worry. She was really nice. Not like the Newcastle.
Yeah, lovely.
But she was decent and as well. But it depends what she says tomorrow morning, because it was all decent this morning. But if she's
the same person? Show,
yeah, the apparently same person? They want us both back because they really enjoyed the show. We were given 10 minutes. I normally get 2. So it was really good. But what I'm interested in is she was raving about her atmosphere. And I felt it was quite silent at times. I didn't hear the Arsenal fans that much, but it's probably where they're based as well, in the ground. But
Amanda, I will shut up and say, after the first 15 minutes, yeah, it turned into a normal game, if you like. And it wasn't, historic night type thing. The first 5 minutes, they were up for it. They got their goal, tails were up. But after that,
yeah, and Chris, I'm going to move on to the fact that when they beat City in the week, they deserved it. They played well. The ground was bouncing. I think she expected that tonight. But Albert, the ground wasn't bouncing. And let's talk about the first goal. 6 minutes in, Zinchenko goes missing, which is a shock. Ben White doesn't get close to him, and bang, it's a goal. I'm not Raya's biggest fan. I always support everyone that wears an Arsenal jersey, but I'm not blaming Raya for that, where some are. For me, it was just I said to Carl, where is Zinchenko? I was like looking for him. Where is he? Sorry, Albert, I'm ranting because I'm not happy, but I'm not going to take over the pod. So talk to me about your thoughts on the first goal and whether you agree or disagree with me.
Where do I start with this one? So it's interesting, Amanda, actually, because obviously you put a tweet out about, I can't remember exact words about, would you take a point in Villa Park? And I was surprised by some of the responses of the Arsenal fans. We're Arsenal, we got rid of 3 points. And I'm like, you're kind of missing the point, really. A team don't win 14 games at home on the bounce if they're a poor side or they're a bit lucky. I thought, you know, this is not an easy game. So what you don't want to do when the game comes around is to concede in the first 5 or 10 minutes.
No, we did
exactly that. You got to put a marker on the game and start the game well. We didn't do that. I personally thought it was a poor goal to concede. Whether people want to lap it up and say it was a great Villa goal, they beat our press higher up the pitch. They come in field, they start out wide, they come in field, they scored a goal. But I think it was a goal that was avoidable. I thought this is not the start you want. Again, we're gonna have to chase another game. So, in terms of the goal, then yeah, I think we could have done a lot better. And we know about Zinchenko in terms of his defensive attributes, if he has any, or they're not as strong as they should be. But that's what really disappointed me. Really. I thought it's going to be a tough game anyway. What you don't want to do, particularly against a manager like Unai Emery, is to give them a leg up and make it difficult for us to get back into the game. I don't want to say too much, Amanda, because you probably want to move the point on. But yeah, I think
I'm going to bring James in. Are you blaming Zinchenko or not?
I think he's partly responsible, but I think the goal could have been avoidable. Ben White could have got tired, arguably. Yeah. Poor start. Poor start.
James, I'll take your point on it. I can only imagine without the swearing.
Yeah, no. I blame Zinchenko because it starts with him. If you stop that at source, then it's not going to happen. I mean, to be fair, just makes me upset with the Tomiyasu injury because he would have been there today. 1v1 versus Bailey. He would not have his bum flapping like Zinchenko's did the whole game because he was worried about him. He vacates his space. That puts Gabriel out wide and it leaves the middle open. Rice, I think Declan Rice arguably been probably our best player this season. If he steps in, I don't think they get there, but he watches it as well. And Albert's right. Ben White, who, as well as Zinchenko, had a terrible game on the left. I thought Ben White was dreadful today on the right as well.
I don't know if
it was fitness or what have you. He just did not look up to scratch at all today. And sadly, we're coming up against a side who, we all agree they're probably not going to win the title. However, they're doing very, very well at the moment, especially at home. I think that's, 15 wins at home they've gone unbeaten since we last beat them, actually. And you've got to be on it. Again, you see Liverpool today just got their point. You know, they got their 3 points earlier. Again, very, very lucky. Don't feel like they should have got the 3 points.
That's, I thought we were calling them Liverpool.
No. Yeah, that's 4 games in a row. They've had very, very questionable decisions that have gone their way. But when you see that happen as a team, that was the early kickoff, Amanda. So even if they're on the bus, whatever, they've all got smartphones. They've got quicker phones than probably me and you will ever have. And you've got to look at that and go, right, like using a tennis, metaphor, analogy, whatever you want to call it, you've got to break serve. When a team like that does that, you've got to be like, right. And it's like Chris has said, first 10 minutes, they're loud. You know what they're going to do. It's like, no mistakes for the first 10 minutes, boys. And yeah, you're running uphill straight away. It's shocking. Yeah.
It is. Unless you get an early goal, like 10 minutes later, it's just the continuous trying to get that one back. Someone asked me on Twitter, actually, could we have played Kivior left back instead? What do you think about that, Chris?
Hindsight is a beautiful thing. The challenge with Kivior is that you don't dominate control of ball and possession with Kivior. Kivior is the sort of player that he's not getting beaten like Zinchenko did on the goal within the first 5 minutes. But if you take away those first 5 minutes when we look like little scared children that had suddenly been listening to all of the hype about, the whole 10, this mystical whole 10, they're so vocal and nonsense, absolute nonsense. So you keep them quiet for 10 minutes. As soon as they scored their goal, essentially it was the entirety of that game was, can Arsenal put the ball in the back of the net? Because I tell you now, in that first half, if we'd have got one, this would be a game that we'd talk about. We'd probably won 3-4-1 because Aston Villa and under Unai Emery, we can all the media narrative tomorrow will be Unai Emery masterclass. That man played a flipping high line, and if Martinelli is on it, if we are tactically a little bit more astute than we were. And maybe it's Arteta on the sidelines or not. I don't know. But if we were a little bit more tactically astute, then we could have had the absolute run of that. They were literally playing their back four about 5-10 yards away from the halfway line. If Arsenal, every time we got the ball in defence or midfield, if our attacking lineup would have just dropped 5-10 yards deeper, and basically just when we've got the ball, drop 5-10 yards deeper and then just run. We did it 5-6 times in the game. Martinelli got in behind, didn't have the greatest game. We do that consistently from about minute 10 in, we'd have had 6 or 7 one-on-ones on the keeper, and it wasn't our night, but they were there for the taking tonight, I think. And that's why I say I don't think that they're going to be title contenders at all.
No, I agree. I just wanted to mention that when we started, obviously, Liverpool did beat Palace. I didn't see all this VAR stuff. I just saw 1-1. I saw Salah score. And then I just tweeted, well, you know what's going to happen now? They're going to get the late winner. It's going to happen. I mean, I would have been more shocked if it didn't happen. I got a question from Karen, which is something I was just about to come to. Let me just get it up. Karen said, hold on one moment. Do you think Arteta being in the stands had an effect today? Yes. Right. So Christopher's nodding. James is saying no. James, why are you saying no? And we'll come to Chris and then Albert.
Because I think setup wise and everything else, it was fine. If you look at the XG, we were like, what, 1.58? So it's not necessary. The only things that we did were there were certain times where certain players, like Chris said, I mean, Martin Odegaard was terrible today. Absolutely shocking. Mm. Kai Havertz laid 2 on a plate for him. He missed both. And they're in the position where the other week, I'm going on about how this is his trademark finish. Well, he's missed 2 fluffers there. The subs killed us. Martinelli coming off absolutely killed us in terms of going forward in that game. He should have kept him on and took off. No. Should have took Jesus off, who was terrible, and put either Martinelli down the middle and Trossard out wide, or even Havertz down the middle.
Who, James, again, I thought Martinelli was terrible today. I actually thought quite.
Yeah, he was better than the others that were up there. At least
Jesus wasn't good.
But. Yeah, but he was running. He's a guy that you know has got liquid pace, and he drags people away. That's what we needed. Jesus today, rolling all over the floor, everything. I was like,
okay,
get
so
up.
The question
I was,
is,
I was like,
you,
get up.
Do you think Arteta being in the stands, you don't think it had any effect?
No.
Okay.
No, Chris, they knew what they were doing. They executed the plan, just they did not put the ball in the back of the net because they were just clumsy.
Chris, why do you think it did?
And just as for our listeners, Albert will get the chance to say a few words at some point, but he's been very patient. And so, Albert,
doing very well. You, man,
but you
I'm
are
coming
you
to are him next.
Right. Yeah. the Erdogan chance, interesting, because the difference between 1-0 Villa today and 1-1, Martin Erdogan picked the ball up. I know he came onto it. It's very similar to the John McGinn chance. Different is John McGinn lifted the ball a little bit higher.
Chris,
the net.
I'm
Martin
asking
Erdogan
Karen's question. Do you think?
Sorry.
Yes, go I'm to that, and then Albert can answer that as well.
What was Karen's?
Do you think he had an effect? Arteta's in the
yeah, sorry.
No
yeah,
one listened to me on the
it did. The reason why I think it did is because I think Arteta pitch side sees that quicker. The drop deep and the thing that a tactical thing that I mentioned earlier, the drop deep and play ball. I think that happens quicker. There's always going to be a delay between a man sitting in the stands looking at it and it actually transferring to the pitch. I think after about 15 minutes, had Arteta been pitch side, he'd have been like, lads, you forwards drop deeper and just keep running. We're going to get loads of offsides. But I tell you what, I'd rather have 25 offsides in a game and 4 of them, Martinelli goes through on goal or Jesus goes through on goal or Saka goes through on goal. Because if those guys get 4 chances where they're through on goal, we're scoring 3 of them.
Okay, so you think it does. Albert, I'll come to you. With regards to this, I'm a little bit like James. I don't think it had any effect, if I'm honest. The coach was up. He was talking to the coach like that, wasn't he? You could see. What's your view on that?
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not really. I the only reason why I say that is because I think there was a period of the season earlier where Pep was missing for a couple of games. I think they won, didn't they? Man City. So yeah, I don't really think that was a major problem. You could ask a league question, another league question as well. Sorry.
No. I was just going to go on to that, but you know, with the fact that obviously we knew Liverpool were ahead of us now in the league. To be honest. Mm-hmm. It's December. As long as we're there or thereabouts, it's nice to be top, but it doesn't really make much difference, does it, in December, which is what I keep telling everyone. So Arteta in the stands is what I wanted to discuss first. And then obviously the general lineup, which we expected. But do you think Kivior, I don't even know his name, Kivior, whatever.
That's right. Kivior.
You said it right the first time. The second one's a drink from the 90s. I used to love Kivior.
Albert, do you think he could play left back?
As a fill-in, as a plan B, maybe plan C, but no, he's a centre back. He's a ball playing centre back, and he would just be a fill-in there. So I can see why he didn't play today. Tomiyasu, such a miss. Not just because cover, but he's been playing well. We got some big away games, man. Like obviously today, you've got a big Brighton, the good football inside Brighton. But obviously Liverpool away is going to be tough. But yeah, he's a big miss, man. But yeah, I can see why Zinchenko came back in. Even though I'm terrified of his defensive capabilities, which has been shown this season. But No, the Kivior to me it's a backup thing quite clearly, because if he felt that he was going to start him today, he would have played. He would definitely would have played ahead of Zinchenko, but he didn't.
So Albert, when this happened with Zinchenko, and listen, I love Zinchenko, but he's not a left back, and he should be in the midfield or left wing. He's not a left back. He never fills me with confidence defending anyway. And where I sit in the East Stand upper, he's on my side. And half the time I'm going, get back, for God's sake. But I said to Carl, with Tomiyasu being injury prone, we need a left back. Albert, do you think he is injury prone, Tommy? Because Carl was arguing me. Carl's not in the chat room tonight, by the way. He's watching Doctor Who because he doesn't want to see any spoilers about this massive thing. I don't watch Doctor Who. So I can say what I want about Carl, and he's not here. But that's the argument we had. He said he's not injury prone. I said he is.
Well, before we had his little stint where he's playing well, I would have probably said yeah. And to be honest, the problem when he does, because there's been a couple of occasions this season before his recent injury, like he might be a bit scarce, or he's had a little knock or here or there, and you think we might be out for a few weeks, but then it was okay. But obviously we've learned that it might be 6 to 8 weeks that he might not be around. They're like, oh god, like they said New Year, so he's not gonna be around this year, we know that. It's tough, man. Like, because with Zinchenko, that's my issue with him, man. Like, it's not just the defensive side with him. I just think sometimes I get it. He plays in that inverted role, but I always say he needs to be a little bit more street smart, a little bit more clever when he comes in field, because to me, sometimes it's a little bit too predictable because he's standing there. And it's easy for opposition teams to just say, you know what, we'll sit back. We'll let you have the ball in your own half because you're not going to impact the game in our half because you're too deep. So that's from an offensive side. That's where I look at him and think, you need to be a little bit more smart. But defensively, yeah, well, listen, he's not going to get any better. How old is he now? 24, 25? And maybe Arteta feels, you know what? What he gives us going forward, maybe we can compensate a little bit with the defenders we've got. But I think, to me, you've got to be outstanding, i.e. a Trent going the other way, to have those deficiencies in your game defensively. I can't say that. I can't say that about Zinchenko, me personally.
No, but someone's talking about, I mean, obviously, Timber being injured not helped the whole situation. Yeah. We miss him as well. First half, boys, I'll come to you, James. I think I was just frustrated. I could see people on social media. I was trying to stay off social media, but I was getting so angry in the second half. I was on it loads. But first half, I thought, we get an early goal. We get a goal first half. They don't look that good, Villa. And I thought we took the game to them.
Yeah, we did. But like I said, just you know, bad finishing. A combination of when you had chances that were on the transition, pulling out of it. Like, if you just kept, there was some, especially, I was just like, if we keep running, we're through here. But I don't know, they just seemed like they were afraid of, oh, is he going to kick me or whatever? Well, get the free kick high up. With the way that they defend the set pieces, if you whip the ball in properly, you got a good chance there. I mean, I think it was worse in the second compared to the first. I know you're talking on the first now, but some of it in the second half as well, they were taking as much time as they could. They were soaking up seconds on the clock as much as they could. And it was a bit where Trossard falls over, yeah? We're on the ball and I'm screaming. I won't say the word, but it's a word that begins with F and ends in a K. And I'm like, whatever he's doing, ignore him and just play through. Because Rice at the time was like, well, I'm ready to go. And then when the ref blew and everything, I was just like, oh, don't give them any more chance to take more time than what's possible. And that's the thing that really, really irked me today. That and I thought the subs was wrong. I mean, Eddie, for me at the moment, he's a complete waste of a sub anyway.
But you've got to do something, James. You know, he had to do something. Yeah,
Have you? Really?
Well, I think we all agree Jesus wasn't doing it. So
we've got two other players there that aren't even forwards that are better option than him at forward. Trossard plays better than him up front.
Trossard was on.
And take Jesus off, move either Martinelli down the middle or Havertz down the middle, and put Trossard on. Because Trossard today, when he came on, was terrible. By the way, that's one of the worst games I've ever seen him play for us. I thought he was shocking.
I do wonder if... It's interesting you say that, James. I do wonder if actually a better move was to move Havertz as the central striker. I thought Havertz was all right at times. He was linking the play. He had a decent game. So moving Havertz as that sort of target man and maybe having Trossard as the left eight so that he can build play, get on the ball and look to make that move. And then you've got Martinelli out left. That's possibly an option that could have been considered that probably wasn't. But yeah, it's frustrating. I'm frustrated. I think we're all frustrated. But I feel like it's not the end of the world because I think just Villa got away with one today. And sometimes you just got to say, whatever. I mean, let them have their day. Let them chirp because they will chirp and we will get it. And probably I think I'll do, particularly if I get some Villa fans atting me on my social medias, I'll probably just keep my counsel because from what I saw today, I saw an Arsenal team that should have won, deserved to win. First 10 minutes didn't do enough. That's the difference. The difference today, as I said earlier, is the Odegaard stuff. It's we didn't take our chances. Unai Emery, like, let them ride on the high crest of the wave because, you know, it's one of those things. It happens.
I'm not at that stage.
Maybe yet. I'm just in the Christmas. Maybe I'm just in the Christmas spirit.
I'm not in that spirit. I'm just. I'm angry. I'm angry with quite a few things, and especially our team. I'm not just going to sit here and talk about the ref and VAR, which we will get to in the second half. But you know, where's our scoring boots today? Did we leave them at home? What was going on in front of goal? We had many chances.
We scored a pretty decent goal, to be fair. It's just that we're Arsenal.
We scored two, didn't we? But
we're not Liverpool. We're not Liverpool.
No,
we don't get those. We don't get penalties and we don't get those sort of goals. We're not Liverpool.
But we should have had a penalty on Jesus.
Amanda, we're not Liverpool. Yeah, we don't get
But
they're
not going to give up football because it's ruining it, because there's no point. You're fighting 12 men. I'll tell you, I've had enough. I'm really in that mood tonight.
Come on, Amanda. You've been supporting Arsenal since the 70s. You've known we've fought 12 men for the last 30, 40 years.
No, this morning, the presenter on Radio 5 Live laughed at me when I actually said there was an agenda against Arteta and Arsenal. And I actually feel like when I'm saying it, I feel like I'm going mad because I've never believed it. But lately, I've started to believe it. He said, why do you think there's an agenda? I said, why has a manager been yellow carded for celebrating when another manager knee-slided down the touchline? You know, you answer that to me. And he laughed.
I'm just looking at Albert. I'm spending the whole time looking at Albert.
Oh, bad.
I do. Do you not believe there's an agenda, Albert? I mean, I never did because I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think you're all mad when you start talking like that. But I have to tell you, talking about Jesus's penalty today, as you said, Liverpool and probably City would have got that. Actually, Newcastle would have got that. And then obviously, this whole goal situation where I'll get to in a moment, but do you not think there is an agenda against Arteta and Arsenal? Because for some reason, I don't know why people are against us. We're a very well-run club. We always have been with the Arsenal. We were never like the United, the Liverpool, you know, those big clubs that they thought were even bigger than they were. We've never felt like that. Yet, Arteta gets yellow carded for celebrating a 97th minute winner. And
what was the reason excessive celebration?
But can I just say something? Well, I really big respect to the Luton manager because they're trying to probe him to get a go against Arteta. And he said to Arteta, he said, if that was me, I'd be crowd surfing. Of course, 97th minute winner. I'm just fuming about. I'm getting to that stage now where it's becoming us against 12 men, Albert.
Yeah, but this is what Arteta was when it was time for rival fans to put their tribalism aside, they didn't want to do it. So that's why when I see decisions go against other clubs, I don't say anything. I'm not going to come out even if I see my own two eyes say, you know what, that's a bad decision. I still don't say anything because I'm thinking. When the goal that got given against us against Newcastle got given, I'll be honest, I didn't see any Newcastle fan come out and say, you know what, that goal shouldn't have stood.
No, that's what annoyed me as well.
No, I mean, as for, I don't know how Gabriel still got his left arm in his socket after he got pulled the other night against Luton. I just can't believe what I'm seeing. I generally don't believe it. I listened to Karen Carney and Jamie Redknapp on Sky talking about, I don't know what they said, the velocity or the power of the car. I was like, if that's in any other area of the pitch, the 9 times out of 10, I don't care what referee it is, they will give that as a free kick. So why is it different? Why is it different because it's in the box? That's what I will say. But coming back to the Arsenal in the first half thing, I said this by watch along and I'll say it again, man. People can talk about Villa weren't that great and playing everything apart. Arsenal's passing today was shambolic. Mm-hmm. Defensively, the midfield, the strikers, Arsenal balls going out of play, being passed in between two players, being sold short. They was absolutely terrible. And actually, I actually didn't care who came off as a sub because I thought Martinelli's final decision-making. I thought, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, even if you're not going to go, I'm not saying you go to Villa, for example, and have 10 clear-cut chances. I mean, you've got to be playing amazing football for that to happen, but that's not going to happen. But what you do is, when you do get the chance to put it in the back of the net, Ødegaard's got to finish that in the first half.
Oh, my God.
There's no excuses. The second half one was a bit tougher, but to me, he has to hit the target, at least. Left the prime player you want in that position doesn't even hit the target. And the it's those fine margins. You've got to, like Chris said, you make that game 1-1. It is a completely different ball game.
Yeah.
But you have to take your chances, particularly against a team that have won 14 games in a row at home. Like, listen, obviously they was class against City, Villa. They weren't like that today, but they were resolute. You know, to keep a clean sheet, you've got to be doing something right. But Arsenal, the passing today, and I actually don't think it got any better in the second half. I thought our passing today was terrible. And first thing Mikel Arteta should do is passing drills. Even if do it for 2 days. Don't even do it for one training session, because you cannot beat teams passing the football the way we did today. It's unforgivable.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah.
Can I just add in for 2 seconds, just on that, the bit that honestly I was a bit like, wow, this ain't our day. As you just said, Albert, the passing in between two Saliba between Gabriel and Raya, knocking out for the corner, and I was like, but this guy literally never does that. What's going on?
Chris, I said the same thing to Carl when he said I was going mad. I said, is Saliba actually on the game today? I was a bit confused because I've never, ever, ever questioned Saliba, ever. And today I was like, what's he doing? Guilty. Yeah. But then Carl never agrees with me. So he was like, no, I said, Carl, look what he's done again. It's really strange. Actually, the only one I thought did have a good game was Gabriel. The rest, I can't pick one out. It was Rice's worst game. And I disagree with you, Albert. I think the second one for Odegaard, he should have scored that. He absolutely should have scored that. Yeah. Definitely the first half, but the second half as well.
And King makes a good point. I think it's either James or Chris said it. But certain sections of fan base absolutely crucify Havertz. He could have had 2 assists today. And he could have scored 4 and 5. So it's those fine margins. Like, forget the fact that Erdegaard's our captain. I don't care, actually. You've got to put the ball in the back of the net. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's unforgivable.
Can I just jump in just for 2 seconds? I feel like we need to also get James to talk.
I was just about to get him.
I feel like he's moving. Like, his screen hasn't frozen. But all I would say, just to try and counter this, is that if you take the first 10 minutes away, we basically were the better team. We didn't have our shooting boots, and that was poor. And we can't say this has been a good game, but we've dominated a team that's in that's won 15 in a row now at home. We dominated them. It was a bad day at the office, definitely. We should have scored more goals, definitely. We were the better team, definitely. You look at the stats, like when Aston Villa played midweek, 22 shots to 2 against Man City, or we had 12 shots today. This game was an Arsenal win. We just didn't do it. Certain things went against us. Penalty, which probably should have been a penalty, but it's VAR. The goal that was disallowed, which I'm a bit sort of, because it's,
can we go into that in a second? I just want to bring James in on the penalty.
Just to make sure he's still here.
No, I just want to bring James in on the penalty for Jesus. Did you hear what Carragher said? He called it as a penalty, and he said Liverpool got exactly the same today. He said, and that's why I'm calling it a penalty.
Well, that one was more of a penalty than the one that Crystal Palace did get.
Okay, so I haven't seen it.
I watched it.
The way Carragher was going on is what you're saying is like he was even shocked Liverpool got it today. But he said, because Liverpool got it, that is a penalty for Arsenal. And then he saw it again and went, no, that is a penalty. They'll be given a penalty for that. And it comes back and he goes, right. Well, he had to move on, didn't he? Because his beloved club got a penalty today for something similar. So you can tell us about that, James, because I didn't see it.
Yeah, no. Well, I can't. I don't even recognise who this guy was for Liverpool to have done it. But yeah, he completely just swiped out Mateta, I believe, who ended up scoring a penalty as well. But it's a clear, you know, it's a clear and obvious penalty. Like when it's a stonewall as that, and Douglas Luiz is a guy we're linked with, and I'd love us to buy. Yeah. However, he's just gone straight through the back of his leg.
Yeah.
Now, part of me, as much as I agree it's a penalty, I think Jesus doesn't do himself any favours because he does. He throws himself on the ground. As much as I normally praise you, I'm like, God, he's so strong for such a little guy. Like what we used to do with Alexis Sanchez. You're like, bloody hell, you know, you're only little, yet you ride these challenges. But today, he just kept throwing himself on the ground. Like we said, so many of them were off it. And I was just like, what? And I thought to myself, if this gets given, it's going to be a miracle because, like Chris said earlier, we're not Liverpool. But secondly, I just couldn't believe. And then if you want to talk about the goal as well.
I will come to that in a sec.
Well, it hits Cash's hand before it hits Havertz.
Whoa, yeah. But I've got to go back because there was a red card that should have been given for an elbow when he went like that. Oh, yeah. And he said it was a trailing arm. He gets a yellow card. Now, I said to Carl, and I say this all the time, it's either a red or nothing because you can't get for hitting someone, you can't get a yellow card. So he's obviously thought he's done something. I'll just give him a yellow. I don't remember who it was on.
Bruno Guimaraes. I'm just going to drop Bruno Guimaraes.
No, today, Chris. I'm
talking about it. It was Nketiah. What I'm saying is,
that's my point. Yeah. I'm saying Bruno Guimaraes.
Oh, God.
It's the same.
Yep.
It's not the same, but
it's not the same because the referee gave a yellow card, Chris, for what? And I want to ask referees this. Are you giving a yellow card because you don't want to give a red? Because if he's raised his arm and he's gone like that, that is a red card. No, it would have been a red card if Kai Havertz would have done it or Declan Rice or any of our players. So here we go again. And yes, you know, when you speak to non-Arsenal fans, and I'll have it all when I go into my office on Monday about, oh, you couldn't even beat Villa and stop going on about VAR and all that. Yeah, but it's a red card and it's a penalty. And yeah, we'll get to the goal in a second. But it's becoming, Chris, like, what is the point anymore? You know, it's bad enough we've got to fight 11 men on a pitch. And let's just get to the goal, okay? We all know Cash handballed it. Whether it's deliberate or not, I thought the laws were they don't have this deliberate word anymore. If it hits your arm, it's a handball. Then it goes on to Havertz. It's like ping pong, isn't it? Right? It goes backwards and forwards. It doesn't, so it's not deliberate on Havertz then, but obviously it is. But what I'm upset about, Christopher, and I want you to talk to me about this, is why has the referee who could never in a million years have seen it, he was too far away, give it and let VAR decide. What they're doing now is the opposite.
Guessing.
They are guessing. They're going in the home, maybe advantage. They're going, well, you know what, VAR had a look at it. It's nothing to do with me. I gave it out. If they wanted to put it in, they could have sent me to the screen. They took a long time looking at it, Chris. So I thought that might work in our favour a little bit. It didn't. Now, we deserved something out of that game. To win it, I don't know, but we definitely deserved a point for our play. And I think it's been robbed, if I'm honest. And I will be saying this tomorrow morning if I get that chance to. There's too much here with the red card, the penalty, and now this. So do you all three think it was a goal that should have stood? And then we'll move on 100%. To discussing it. Albert, 100%?
Yeah, 100%.
Chris, so talk to me about the ref. Tell me why he has disallowed it on the pitch when he couldn't have seen it.
Because his name's Jared Gullit. That's it. I'm actually looking at a still of him disallowing it. And there's actually an Arsenal player in between him and the actual ball. So he didn't actually see a single thing.
That's my point.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and for me, I thought you had to go in the advantage of the attacker. The obviously not an Arsenal attacker, but that's the rules now. And okay, give the goal, and if VAR cancel it, we won't be having a word with you, ref, that's for sure. But you've disallowed it.
Now that is that you have absolutely hit the nail on the head there. If as a referee you say that's a goal, unless somebody tells me otherwise, and then if VAR VAR bring it back, then you've got that. This is the problem that we've got, is that in some instances we're getting referees that rely entirely on VAR, and then in other instances we're getting referees. It's mental, but I'm getting a bit like meh to it all, to be honest with you. I think we're at the stage where we all need to probably just maybe the PGMOL should just and the Premier League should just front up and say, we've taken Everton's docks 10 points and we've given them to Liverpool. We're just not telling you about it.
I've got a question here from Rahul. Rahul, thanks for joining the show.
I know, but
I'm sorry, but how did the ref give it a handball so quickly, but it took VAR 5 minutes to get to any conclusion? Clearly agenda against us. Thanks for your question. So, James, anything to add to this? I mean,
no. Sorry.
I've never been on this agenda. I've never, ever been on this bandwagon. I said it this morning. Yeah. But now I'm like, should the PGMOL have a template that they cut and paste for apology letters to send to us?
If apologies were points, Amanda, we'd be 15 clear at the top of the
table.
We'd
won the league.
Yeah, we'd have sewn it up. But we'd have won it when Tottenham won it in October and November. But honestly, and Newman makes a great point there where he's going, yawn, it's boring to keep complaining about the refs every game. But when you get a blatant penalty and a blatant goal robbed off you, I'm sorry, you can't help but feel aggrieved and want to talk about it, because it's a joke. It's a joke. Kai Havertz, for me, I come on here the other week, the chat box was like, James, you're out of order. You're being horrible to the guy.
Yeah, you were.
I wasn't, but he's completely done a 180. He at the moment, he should have had two, like Chris said, he should have had two assists and a goal again today. And at the moment, he is hotter than two rats shagging in a wool sock. He's brilliant at the moment. But yeah, now he's been completely, he's been robbed of two assists and a goal today.
True. It's a good point. It has to be made.
Guys, like, we don't charge, we don't Patreon for this content. So, you know, just appreciate Mr. Johnson there with that.
It's honestly, he's fantastic at the moment, Kai Havertz. And that goal come from what I said about putting him down the middle. He was be a box smasher. Because I thought Carlos for them today had a very, very good game. And I could see why they gave him man of the match. But he did not like when Havertz was up there against, because he's got deceivingly quick feet, Havertz, for someone so big. And he's gone from wearing Timberlands when he plays football to actually wearing football boots now. So his feet are actually doing what they're supposed to do. They're not heavy. You know, he's not taking a touch and it's ending up in row Z. He's controlling it and bringing people in. And I was so upset for him today. I felt so hard done for him. He worked his socks off.
You did hate on him, and a lot of people remember that comment.
Yeah, rightfully so. He was £65 million pounds to get goals and assists. He wasn't doing it. Now, like I said, he's on absolute fire. He's flying. But, you know, I didn't know that you're not allowed to change your mind. I forgot that this podcast was like Twitter and you can't change your mind.
No, you can't. You're not allowed.
Yeah. And football didn't exist until 1996 or whatever it is. Albert,
Can we step outside and let me
Can I mute him? Have a little... right. I'm just going to read you something that someone's come out with. I don't know if it's the PGMOL or what, but it's some stat thing I've got. Handball before scoring. This doesn't even make sense. The second change isn't... The second change is on accidental handball in the immediate build-up to a goal. If an attacking player's accidental handball immediately precedes another player scoring the goal, will now be awarded when last season it was likely to have been ruled out. However, a player will still be penalised if he commits an accidental handball immediately before scoring himself. Well, what about Eddie then? Eddie scored, didn't he? Didn't Eddie put the ball in the back of the net?
No, Eddie was claiming it, but it was Havertz that done it. But the thing is, if it's not a goal, if they've gone, no, you can't have that because Havertz has handballed it or whatever, deliberately, accidentally, whatever way you want to. Cash's handball is before all of that takes place. And today, in the earlier game against Palace and Liverpool, they played for ages before the ref finally blew the whistle and went, actually, we're going to look back at this. It was a good 3 or 4 minutes before, you know, let's do the time warp and go back and watch it all. And so... they should be going, well, actually, screw what's happened here with Havertz and the goal, Arsenal at least have got a penalty because Matty Cash handballs it before any of this happens at all.
Yeah.
And that, so if anything, you've made two mistakes because one, again, you've missed the handball that's initially happened from the Villa player. And then you've said that it's a disallowed goal when it's not a disallowed goal at all.
So, Albert, anything to add to this VAR nonsense that we are going through most games?
Not much to add. Well, I mean, watching it at the time, the first thing I did do, I didn't celebrate the goal. I didn't celebrate. I just had a feeling. I thought they're not. And the longer it took, you're right, Amanda. I thought I don't really know what they're checking because I can clearly see Matty Cash has handled it. Whatever phase you want to talk about, he has handled the ball himself. So to, I actually thought he disallowed the goals. I thought he gave it for maybe a push from Havertz on Matty Cash, but I thought, okay, he didn't give it for that. Then for the length of time it took and then to disallow it, I'm like, right, okay. Now we see what's happening here. But yeah, I wasn't, I'd have been shocked if that got given in our favour, if I'm being honest, and it didn't.
No.
And Carragher as well. You talked about Carragher earlier. He's going, oh, look at the kick on Martina. It was Cash who kicked him in the face, you clown. Exactly. Go back to spitting at kids and leave commentary to people. Joey Barton this week goes on about women that don't know what they're doing when they're commentating.
Jeremy Carragher, you don't know
what you're doing when you're commentating. Oh, look at the kick. Look at the kick. It was from his own play, you div.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, and as I said, Carl's not around. But he was going mental at Carragher. Every time Carragher said, there's the kick, Cole's going, there's no kick. I mean, I'm looking at both of them. It was like, it was so weird what was going on. Because
Martinez
saying,
is squaring up to him like, you've kicked me. I'm like, no, your own players kick. You're an idiot as well. Brilliant idiot, but an idiot nonetheless.
Yeah, he's a great goalkeeper, unfortunately. He's just so annoying, isn't he? I want to come just to change it slightly, just some different questions. John Rowe. Hi, John. Do you think Arteta comments have anything to do with us getting nothing from VAR?
Yes. And the statement that we put out as well, even though it was, to me, it was right to do. Yes. But, and again, like Chris has mentioned, it could be the catchphrase for the show. We're not Liverpool. Since they did what they did, and they were rightfully robbed against, I agree with what you've said as well, Albert. Other clubs didn't come together. You know, it's always, you know, when it's not your club, you find it funny and you laugh at everybody else. But since they've done what they did, Liverpool, where they went mental and everything else, calling out for replays, because they did. Don't say they didn't, because Jürgen, come out of Jürgen Klopp's mouth. We all heard it. Like I said earlier, they've had four decisions go their way in the last four games that should never have happened. So,
and,
you know,
and everyone's saying that, and yet we've
done it, and we're getting punished for it. But, you know, it's like, we know they don't want Arsenal to have anything.
James, a lot of non-Arsenal fans are saying that about Liverpool, that since the Tottenham game, they're so scared VAR, they're just giving them everything. They're just constantly giving them everything.
Yeah, because you can't shut them up.
Yeah. So
that's Scousers in a nutshell. You know, you wind up a Scouser, you never hear the end of it. That's just how
James.
It's true.
Right. John Rowe says, do you think the Arteta comments have anything to do with it? Christopher, do you agree or not?
I do. And I think during the week, we saw evidence of that, because I can tell you right now that between now and Christmas, there will be a manager that celebrates in exactly the same way that Mikel Arteta celebrated against Luton. And there will be no recompense, because he's had a target on his head since that statement and since that Newcastle result. The target has been set. My hope is that what happens now is that the PJMOL, which is as bent as a nine bob note, if you're asking me, my hope is that you've crossed us now. You've served your punishment. You've been defeated. You've had your manager in the sidelines. You've been punished enough. Let's get some calibration. But do you know what? That wasn't happening last season when somebody forgot to draw the lines. So, all I can genuinely hope for is that now we just get refereed based on just the rubbish referees we've got, rather than we get refereed based on agendas.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Chris, we get more clinical and we don't have to bring them into that. That's the main. I know a lot of people are saying
we need to win the game, regardless of VAR.
We should have done them today.
I've seen this team go 38 games unbeaten, and the refs were worse then. You had people like Uriah Rennie that couldn't run at the pace the game was being played at.
Yeah, but we didn't seem to. The thing is, though, you say that.
Yeah, but they were worse. They were worse back then.
But we didn't have VAR. I don't think they were worse, James. I think they were the same.
Amanda, you had some of them that couldn't even run. They had to have bags of crisps, or otherwise they'd have passed out. They were dreadful, Amanda. They weren't fit. They weren't in shape.
James, at least some of these were in shape. Paul Durkin. Albert.
Come on.
Right. Albert, Paul Durkin's son. He refs in the conference. And his son's rubbish as well. I've seen him at Dagenham and Redbury. Right. His son's just as bad.
Could we let Albert speak, James? Thank you.
Just responding to him.
Doctor Who must have finished because Carl's in the chat room, so now I can't say anything against him. James speaks the truth. There we go. James, he actually agrees with
you. Well, I knew that anyway, but I'd love people like Carl to back me up. I appreciate you, Carl. Checks in the post.
Albert. This is what's worrying me. Arteta will be banned for Anfield's ditch up. Do you know what? I think now we should all accept what's going to happen at Anfield. We're going to lose. VAR, there's going to be some outrage. I can just see it. I've accepted that where I didn't accept today, Al, but before the game, I thought we had a really good chance. And I did put the tweet out where I said, if I offered you a draw now, would you take it? Mixed reactions, 50% each, I reckon. Chris, you said you would take it. I, about a day later, went, no, I wouldn't take it. But you know what? And that's how I felt this morning. It wasn't that I was confident, because I'm never that confident. But after Luton, I thought we'd be on this momentum, you know, drive us forward. Everyone's raving about Villa because they beat City in the week and they deserve to beat them. This is going to be brilliant. They're not going to low block. They're not going to sit back. They got a high line. And Albert, it just didn't work, did it?
No, and this is what I was saying to your original tweet. And I actually said, even before I saw your tweet, I would take a point now. I said I had a couple of conversations with a few Arsenal fans. Like, it's how you want to take in it. Like, oh, you know, if you can go down the route and say, oh, we're Arsenal, we should go and, you know, demolish teams. Or you can say, you know what, we're coming up against a good side, I'll take a point. Whatever way you want to look at it. But, you know, we should have really, even if you look at the game we played against Luton, I thought it'd be a tight game, personally. And it was more than that, to be honest with you. It was more than tight. Yeah. Listen, they was very unlucky against United away Luton, and it was very unlucky at home to Manchester Liverpool. So there's no easy games, people say. But in regards to the Villa game, I just think... I thought it'd be a tough game. I did think it'd be a tough game. But when you look at how it sort of panned out... Arsenal should have come over a point today, man. Seriously. Because Villa weren't... I don't say Villa weren't great. Villa weren't to the level they were against City. But they weren't. But, you know, it's those kind of games, man. Like I said earlier, like, you're not going to create loads and loads of chances, particularly away from home. But when they do come about, you have to take them. You have to. You mentioned about... we got Liverpool in a few weeks.
Right. Before you say anything, can I put this question up, Albert? Because it's quite relative. So you can only take 1 3 points. You can only take 3 points of Liverpool and knock them out of the cup. What are you going for?
Amanda, you know, now you've spoken to me enough, and these guys know already. We talk about rivalry in football, right? Obviously, yep. Tottenham are rivals, but there's always a club in the league, right? I won't say hate. That's too strong.
Say it, Albert.
Liverpool's always been my club, and I've always said I want the day we go there and beat them at Anfield in the league. So I would take the 3 points and run.
Okay. 100%. Christopher, would you?
Albert, you and I need to sort of message each other beforehand and say we should probably disagree on something sometimes, because all we do is agree with each other every time we go on Twitter or on Facebook. But I'm 100%.
Chris, there's something about them, mate. It really winds me up.
I'm fed up of this stupid record in the Premier League at Anfield.
Yeah,
three poor points at Anfield. Shut them up. Do you know what? Bring back the ghost of Christmas, Lucas Podolski. Let's have a win.
Yeah, you're okay. Right. You're right.
James, and then I'll say what I've got to say.
Beat them in the league, because as much as I want a trophy and win the FA Cup, we're going to have a day out at Wembley in the Champions League final anyway, so don't worry about it. We're going to go to Wembley for that and win that one, so don't worry. You know.
No, it's really funny. Can I just, sorry, Samantha. I've not loved today oh, because God. Obviously it's been horrible, but Amanda trying to control us three today, it's like... She doesn't know where to turn, bless her.
Yeah, but Amanda's second team's Liverpool, so she's got to toe the line.
Just so boring.
You know.
I just don't hate Liverpool the way you do.
All my scouse mates.
I hate United much more than I hate Liverpool. I can tell you that for nothing.
I understand that. Yeah.
United, and I hate Stoke, and now I hate Newcastle. Liverpool don't even bother me. They just get away with lots of things. I mean, how many times did Mane elbow Tierney? I used to say to my scouse mates, do you want to just elbow him every game? Because you get away with it anyway. And James, I do have a go at my scouse mates. Anyway, I disagree with all of you, because for me, I could never, ever want to go out of the FA Cup. So I'm old school, remember? So trophies for me.
Yeah, we're going to win the Champions League, Amanda.
Can I just finish, James? I'm going to have to mute him. I don't even know how you do it, but I'm going to have to do it.
You can do it. You can do it.
I want to stay in the FA Cup. So for me... we're not going to get 3 points at Anfield anyway, so I'm taking the FA Cup right now.
Defeatist.
So when we lose at Anfield, I can say to all of you, see, told you, take the FA Cup. It's a really good question, and we've got a couple more, so let's ask. And I like this one. We haven't covered this. Lemon Fear. Can we talk about how much Raya was crowded during corners? Is this a new tactic after our game against Luton? Now, it was amazing to see it. They literally crowded him. I've never seen anything like it. Obviously, they're going to, because he made a couple of blunders at Luton, James. Are you surprised to see that?
Am I unmuted now? Am I allowed to speak?
I haven't even muted you. I don't even know how to do it.
Well, if you remember very early in the game, he tried to make a high claim again, which is apparently what he's meant to be superior at. And it come off Saliba, didn't it? And then sort of went out, and then White cleared it. That was near. That was before their goal. And I was like, oh, Jesus, Raya. If you know, I'm used to the Jens Lehmann. When you come to get a ball, even if an Arsenal player's head's there,
you've got to come
bang,
and get
it. I put my hand through your head to get that ball. And he just is like, do I grab it? Do I not grab it? Can't have that. Can't have that, you know, indecisiveness. If you're going for that ball, you get that ball regardless. Even if you have to take a man out, whatever, you grab that ball. And yeah, they do, because again, he's not the tallest of the goalkeepers. And Villa have a lot of big boys. You know, that Carlos is quite a big... He was a big, strong lad. So I don't blame him for doing that at all.
Chris, I think... I don't blame Raya for the first goal, where I have seen people on social media blame him. I think some just want to blame him full stop. Well, we don't do that here. We're not sure about the Ramsdale situation. We don't even understand it. I still don't. So I'm not going to sit here and just... build this whole anti-Raya thing up. He didn't do very well against Luton. I mean, I don't understand the Ramsdale situation. I feel much more safe with Ramsdale in goal. I'm not the manager. So we've discussed this every single week. But I don't blame him for doing it, do you?
No, I don't think so. And that's the first thing that I would do. And that's going to keep happening. What's going to happen is we're going to keep seeing that, particularly in away games, until there's just a series of matches where he just has no trouble. So, for example, the first game that he came back in away to Everton, Everton lumped balls in, and the first three balls he just plucked out of the air, caught, and was just like, yeah, what's the problem? And then they just didn't bother doing it. And that's what's going to need to happen. It's an unfortunate situation. It's an awkward situation. We just have to deal with it. And as much as, again, me and Cookie have talked about this on previous pods as well, my personal preference, and maybe it's just because I've got my priors around Ramsdale, we all love Ramsdale, is that I think Ramsdale's probably a slightly better keeper, right?
I think so as well.
We just need to accept that Raya is the number one, and I am behind Raya, because we have to be behind Raya, because he is the Arsenal number one. So he will continue to get my vote. That's it, really.
Okay, a couple more questions. Right. Well, we'll move on to this and then we'll say goodbye to everybody in a few minutes. What are your thoughts on a striker in January, Albert?
Great question.
From Karen Russell at Kaza.
Go on, Karen. I met Karen. I'll tell you what. When we had when Saka put that ball through to Jesus, a top striker definitely takes that under control and at least gets a shot off. And that's the difference. You'll see it in our goal difference. Our goal difference, the goals we scored this season, and probably Man City, Amanda, which the difference would be Haaland. Mm. It's a striker. Arsenal notoriously in January are not great anyway, Karen, as you well know. The striker market, I've said this before, Amanda, I don't get bored of saying it. It's not an impossible market, but I just think it's a very difficult market in the last 10, 15 years because I don't think there's that many strikers out there. There's two main protagonists you can look at, whether that be January or the summer. There's a few. I'm going to throw a few names. So Ferguson at Brighton, Osimhen at Napoli, and Ivan Toney, the main three. If you want to be honest, I'm not sure Arsenal will get a striker in January.
No, I don't either.
And I thought that for quite a few of the transfer windows, to be honest. I just don't. It's like they're not scared to pull the trigger and get it done, but I don't know what they're waiting for, really. I mean, Jesus is obviously, yes, I get it. He gels and knits the team together. But like I said, that opportunity today, a top-class striker in that position takes that ball and gets a shot off. And that's the difference.
Okay. James, I know I don't think we'll get a striker in January, but if we did out of the three Alberts chosen, who would you like?
Well, I have on good authority that one of the three that Albert has said will be coming in the summer from people that we know. Someone that me and you know and Melvin knows gave me good information that one of those three potentially will be coming to Arsenal in the summer.
Is it not Baby James?
Not the same origin. He's not the same origin. He's not the same origin as me, James. Is he? Just give me a wink.
He looks like a jar of mayonnaise, like me. I'm afraid, Albert. That is the one who is one of the three.
Okay, so that's interesting. I mean, I don't think we thought we'd get anyone in the January transfer window, Chris, did we?
Can I expand on that, James? Can you actually explain, show your workings, please? Instead of saying being all like ITK on me. Who?
No, he can't.
Ivan Toney?
He can't.
No. No, Ferguson.
Okay. Ferguson
has been tapped up. Well, not like illegally tapped up, but yeah, there's been feeders out for him for a very long while from very good people, from people at the club. And I've got it from a very good person that I know that also knows me and Amanda and Melvin.
Christmas. I would... the thing is about that is that we know Brighton and we've all got the Caicedo scars from last January, and this will be another, whatever the Brighton's chair, Tony, whatever it is, saying, yeah, I'll take all of your money. Like, how much money have you got? 100 million. Well, I'll take more. That will be the sort of thing in January. We know it. So that's why I'd like to believe you, James.
I don't think there will be a war for him, though.
He signed a new deal as well. He signed a new deal.
Yeah. I don't think there'll be a war for him like there was for Caicedo, though. Because as much as we were going in for him, Chris, they always knew that Chelsea were going to bid higher. I don't think the likes of a Chelsea or what have you are going to be looking at Ferguson. No, and I think we're going to go in that younger mould because that's the kind of thing that we're doing now. We don't really buy established type play it. We normally go for these younger players at the moment. So
he's only about 19, 20, isn't he? So he's
young. You know, it's the same age that Rooney joined United at, and whatever you want to say about Rooney, and I've done bloody well for him. So I like him. And I think if you put him with better players, like what we're not saying that Brighton don't have, they've got bloody great players. But if you put him with a Saka, with a Martinelli, with an Odegaard, when they're clicking, I know we had a bad one today, but I think he easily, for me, gets 20 plus goals for Arsenal. And that's what we need. We are goals by committee, but you still want 20 to 25.
Yeah, you need a gunman, 100%.
We need, yeah. And if we did, we would win a lot more. Right, boys, yes. Let's move on to...
But we got bigger priorities to sign in January anyway. We need cover for that fullback if Timber's not going to be back in time.
I agree
on that. We need a midfielder because Elneny is going, Partey's going, and Jorginho. I think he's going to get given another year. But like you don't know if he's going to accept it or not.
I think he's becoming a coach from the sidelines. I love it.
I think we're going to need a Howard Webb.
I think we're going to need a Howard Webb understudy. I think we do.
Well, actually, that leads in nicely.
Would you rather put money in the brown envelopes, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
This leads on to this question. Boys.
We do need a FIFA-style Rolex
watch. Boys, answer this question, Christopher. Carl says, who does FAPGMO want to win the league this season?
Liverpool. That's the same reason for messing up against Spurs. Their apology.
Charges
would be
FC, it would be better if 115 charges FC didn't get it. Or maybe what other team could we possibly, you know, really lean into, having been so obviously shafted last season? That's earlier on in the season. Oh, I do wonder, but I'm going into, maybe it's just because I've had too much Cabernet Sauvignon. I'm going into extreme.
Right. Well, I'm going to take control. Hello.
I'll step out.
Right. Brighton. We need some predictions for, I think it's 2 weeks tomorrow.
I'll be there for that. Yeah. 2 o'clock. Next 2 o'clock Saturday. For the Sunday, Amanda. That's right. Next Saturday.
Oh, it's next Sunday. Sorry. Sunday. Sunday. 2 o'clock. Sunday. Albert, what's your prediction?
It's
going in my book.
You've of course put it in your book, Amanda. No worries. I'm gonna go Arsenal 2-1.
Oh, I've done that, right? I've already written me. Chris?
We're gonna win this 2-0. Genuinely, like I'm a pessimist, but I think next weekend it will be at Arsenal saying, do you know what? Screw this. We're gonna do this.
So, I think 2-0. So. I think they're gonna come out all guns blazing, excuse the
pun. We play PSV before that. Would you like just disappear? Can I give you my team?
If you want to, Chris, but we are running way over.
Sorry. Ramsdale in goal, Cedric at right back, Rob Holding and Gus Caesar, Nigel Winterburn, Elneny holding the midfield, Patrick Vieira, if Fabio's not quite fit, Trossard, Nelson right wing, Nketiah, and then left wing, the ghost of Christmas present.
Okay. I hear you've got to go, so do you want to drop out now and I'll finish with the boys?
Love you, mans. Bye,
love
James.
You. Enjoy your drink.
Bye, Albert. Bye. Albert, oh, sorry, quick one. Albert, I'm forcing you to meet me in person next Sunday. I will fight. I will find
you.
Okay,
could we? You can WhatsApp about that.
Yeah.
Bye, Chris.
Sorry.
Bye.
I thought you were going to say Anders Limpart, to be honest.
Right. So, James, I haven't got your prediction. LL.
Ask me after Tuesday.
No.
If I do a show with Cookie in the week,
doing one this week.
Find out, but I'm not doing it now. Because it all depends on who he plays on Tuesday.
Who is in charge? I'm never in charge.
You never used to predict. I've done podcasts with you since I was 18. I'm now 32. I'm not predicting. So, yeah. Right back at you.
I have to tell you, I got one right the other week. I did. I got one right.
Amanda, if you read in between the lines, James is saying 1-0 to Arsenal.
Right, boys. Okay, so a couple of things.
I don't want to see any of them that play today on Tuesday.
Absolutely not. Surely Ramsdale will be in goal, but anyway. We'll discuss that on the next podcast. I don't know when we're going live. It'll be sometime next weekend. We might even go post-game once we're all back from the Emirates. We'll have to wait and see what the boys want to do, because Cookie should be back for that. As you all know, we are sponsored by Ruth Beckart. So please see, the boys love her. Everyone loves her. Please go and view her shop on ruthbeckart.com. But we ran a competition and so many of you emailed, which was really cool, and we drew out a winner. So what you had to do was listen to the show, go and screenshot a picture that you wanted from Ruth's website, send it to thesameoldarsenal@gmail.com, which you did. And the winner is Debbie at DMCMagini71. She wanted the Rice Baby print, which is the Muller Light thingy. So well done, Debbie. That'll be, we'll contact you for your address and Ruth will send that to you. And not only that, starting from now, if you do visit ruthbeckart.com, she's got the most amazing Arsenal prints. Honestly, if I can even see some of them here, hold on one moment, I will show you what we have. Oh, look at this, look. She does all these fantastic key rings and Christmas stuff. And look at these drawings. Go and support her. Honestly, it's
I've got the crest. I've got that.
And she also sells these. Look at these gonks for your garden.
Oh, that's it. That's what you want. Look at that.
Any name, and Christmas cards as well.
You've got to get the Gouda gonks, Amanda. Look at that.
Oh, look at these. Aren't they fabulous?
If you've got a picture of the latest pin badge she's going to be doing.
Oh, is it the mine? Is yours gold?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't got the picture actually, but please go and visit her shop.
Might miss on the
if
pitch,
I can just
Beck
finish,
miss, does she? Look at that.
If I can just finish, please. God, I have to be a teacher tonight. If you put on the code same old Arsenal, you're going to get 10% off. So go and visit her shop. You can still get stuff in time for Christmas. So well done, Debbie. Well done. Right, I do apologise for running so late, but thank you all for staying with us. Everybody on audio, I will be in more control next week when these two reprobates are not here. I would love to thank my mini podcast brothers from another mother, Albert. Thank you for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you. I don't get a chance to be bossy. I really don't, Marskuna, but thank you. Albert, tell everyone where they're from.
Where they can find me. You can find me.
Yes, where you're from. Sorry, where they can find you.
Well, I mean, I'm from New Cross, if that's what you want to tell them. But I mean, no. Yes, I mean, we're all territory people. I have to be very careful around here. But thank you for having me on, Amanda. Of course, Albert JTV is my channel. You will see me on various other podcasts, including the same about Arsenal. You might even hear me on radio as well. I was on there recently. The guy tried to be a bit of a... I'll send it to you, Amanda. You'll see what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I want to listen. I didn't know you were on. So that's another thing, isn't it? Everyone, if anyone's up at Quartz Wait tomorrow morning, tap into Radio 5 Live. I will just be as like this as well. I won't be that happy. Albert, thank you so much, my lovely. Love doing a show with you again. To my podcast brother from an absolute another mother and everywhere else.
Now I'm going to have to upset the whole chat, all the women
in
there.
He is taken. He has a girlfriend, bless him. Yeah.
Someone had to do it.
Where can they find you, LL Cool J, in like under 10 seconds, please?
It should be. Oh, you've taken it off the screen now. If you get rid of the little comment, it'll flash back up on it.
Right, hold on one moment. Let me go to comments. Let me hide it.
There you go. And everything's there. If you want to listen to me again, I don't mind. Like I've said before, all the people that dislike me, tears hydrate me. That's it.
That's your saying there, isn't it?
It is.
I'd love to thank everyone in the chat room for coming. It's not been easy tonight, has it? I mean, we've been done by VAR. We left our scoring boots at home. We should have had a penalty. They should have had a man sent off. God knows I'll have to repeat all this in the morning as well.
But we had fun, Amanda.
But it's been cathartic. I like to think of it as cathartic. And a virtual hug to all of you. And I love you all. And thank you for supporting us. It's not easy coming on a show when that has happened, is it? So anyway, I'd like to say thank you to everyone. It is time now to start your Saturday night, whether you're going to go and watch Doctor Who, because apparently it's the biggest thing on the planet. I'm off to watch I'm a Celeb. Let's get Nigel Farage out and let's get Sam or Josie to win it, or even Tony, I like him as well. Anyway, moving on. Always Arsenal. Bad day at the office. We'll always support them. Good night, everybody.
Sports Social Podcast Network.